thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
I want to talk to you today about that subject, the fear of the Lord. I brought along with me a set of keys, rather large set of keys, won't you say? We got them from Jeff, who runs the maintenance part of all of our buildings. And he said that every one of these keys open one of the closets. So there are all the closets that are in this building, the building across, and other buildings, that there's a key for each closet. So you have all of these keys. Now, I brought it out to show you that, you know, we realize that most of our messages and most messages that you hear deal with what are some of the keys in our life. What's a key to a successful marriage? Please give me something that will help my marriage be. So give us some keys. So we give 3 points or 5 points. This is what will make for a successful marriage. And then give us some keys for financial stability. We'd like to know what financial stability, or keys to have that joy in our life, or keys to whatever. And it seems like there's a draw, and there's a need for us to have keys. And as I thought about all the keys that we preached about that will help us live successful, abundant lives, there's one key that I think we overlooked and we don't teach about it so much. And it's kind of got hidden in all the rest of the keys, and even a smaller key. And it's this key here that I would call the fear of the Lord, teaching on the fear of the Lord. But it shouldn't be the smallest of the keys. It really should be the largest. So I took my key off my truck that I drive and I put it on here. The largest of all. It really should stand out more than all the others, because I believe with all my heart it is the key of all keys. I think the understanding of walking in the fear of the Lord. What does the fear of God mean? What does it mean to fear God? What does it mean to fear the Lord? What does it mean to walk in the fear of God is a real key. Now, if I were to share with you what I believe is my life passion, if you will, life message, these three things that I just mentioned, you put them together, that's my life message. That's the message that I believe comes through, and most of the opportunities I have to speak comes through, whether we do an Easter presentation or a Christmas presentation, because I believe that they're important for us to be where God wants us to be. Now, I wondered, what is the problem with talking about the fear of God? Because I have to tell you, I went through a struggle for the last 2 weeks. I probably put more hours and time of prayer and study into this particular message today than I put into a message in a long, long time. And it's because I felt this wrestling that was going on inside of me, and also felt this pressure from without side. It wasn't depressing. It wasn't something that distracted me from moving on and trusting God. It was nothing like that. It was just the awareness that this battle was going on, and I think I kind of identified why. I think the pressure comes from a culture that we find ourselves living in. Now, I want to say culture, not a generation thing, but a culture that is made up of all generations. This isn't something that has just started in this particular past 10 years or 15 years or 20 years, but it's something that has been going on for many, many decades, and slowly but surely it seems to be consuming our thoughts, and it does affect us as Christians, and we need to deal with it. So that pressure, feeling this pressure, it was difficult for me to feel the freedom that I could really just talk on the fear of God the way I need to talk on the fear of God. Let me tell you what I've identified as this pressure. This absolute just distrust in authority. This absolute rebellion against authority. And it seems that in our culture that I'm saying, there's an attack on authority. Because of the freedoms we have, we've taken those freedoms to extremes and crossed the line, as far as I'm concerned, where God stands on them. So we don't have the respect for authority. We don't submit to authority. So that's why we have problems in schools, that the teachers have a difficult time teaching what needs to be taught because they're dealing with just the authority thing all of the time. There's a challenge to their authority. Kids are challenging their parents' authority. The parents themselves are challenging the authority of the places they work. The authority is challenged in the church. And ultimately, what we see happening, the effect of all this is, we will challenge God's authority over our lives. We won't have the respect or the reverence for God's authority. And we slowly but surely have brought God down to a level of our culture because, you see, we don't want anyone telling us what to do. If we have a certain desire, that we should have the freedom to carry that desire out. How is this reflected in the church? We know it's in the world, but how is it reflected in the church? How does it affect you and me? I think it affects you and me is because if you approach your walk with God and only take it to a level of appreciation for your salvation, realizing that Jesus is the Savior and accept Him, but the rest of your life is kind of let it go the way it was going before. A little cleanup, but let it kind of go the way it was going before. And God forbid that he should say anything or anyone in authority in the church should challenge the way I'm living. And if we're challenging that respect for God, we're also challenging respect for his word. And now we're down to where we have a big problem because we're not going to get anywhere if we're challenging this respect for God. That's what the fear of the Lord is. The fear of the Lord is not being afraid of God. The fear of the Lord is a reverence. It's a respect. It's an awe moment with God that you see him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see him in all his majesty. You see him as creator of the heavens and the earth. You see him with the ability to do anything he wants to do. And he has all power. He's the one who put the stars in their place and has numbered them. He's the one that numbered the sands of the sea. And he knows all about his creation and all about the world. He stands alone, no one beside him. But somehow we've brought him down to a level of cooperation with us and our desires. Every other religion has done it. Why not Christianity? It can happen, and it does happen. If I were to introduce to you today that, as a surprise, Tim Tebow is with us. I'd like to introduce Tim Tebow, and he walks out here. I mean, there would be an excitement that would arise in this church because he was here before, and that's what happened. This place was packed. It was packed. People came out to see him, and we sat on the edge of our seat, and he's a great man of God, and he spoke, but I listened to every word he spoke, and we were all attentive to every word he spoke because he's someone that's one of our heroes. If Carrie Underwood or say she were to be announced to come out, or Helton, who just retired from the Rockies, anyone like that, we show more respect for them, even in this place, than we do for God. How much excitement, anticipation have you brought with you today that says, I am going to a place where God's people are gathered together, and it's said that his presence is with two or three are gathered together. There he is, and I'm going to go meet with God, and I'm going to praise him. I'm going to join in with the others of redeemed. How much anticipation, how much excitement, how much did you prepare in your coming here today? Do we sit on the edge of our seats and wait for a word that would come, not from my lips, but from God's word that would be from God himself that is an awe moment? You see, we don't do it because we have taken for granted our relationship with God. We've taken for granted that, and here's how we treat God. It's kind of this. It's scary, kind of, and I got to be careful here. It's just like our culture is, well, yeah, God, he's cool. And yeah, he is cool, but he's more than cool. You see, he's not just cool like one of your buddies. He's not just, okay, yeah, we're on talking terms, you know? And I hear this, and it doesn't bother me so much outside when I hear this and talking to someone who has no idea who God is, but yet he thinks he knows God and he'll say those things about God. But there seems to be a prevailing attitude and an expression of that same, and we brought God down to a level that, see, because that's what every other group of people have done. They have created gods that are on their level. Do we want to do the same with the God of gods, King of kings, creator of the universe? But I want to tell you, folks, it creeps in and we'll go that way unless we challenge it. And I hopefully this message will challenge that way of thinking in our lives as I try my best to approach this subject of the fear of the Lord. The verse I want to open up with is the one I'm going to bring on the screen here. It's in James chapter 4 and verse 8. Most of your translations, and maybe you're familiar with this, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Well, this is the Amplified. Come close to God and he will come close to you. I want you to notice something in here because it kind of challenges maybe some of other scriptures or some of the other things we say. Come close to God, that means I take the initiative, and then God's going to move. Well, let us remind us of what God has already done. We already talked about 2 weeks ago. Jesus Christ has done everything to come close to you. He stands at the door of your heart, and he knocks. His knocking is one of asking for permission to come in, and that's where we stand with this scripture. He's already there. He's already provided, and now it's up to us to open the door, to press in, to get closer to God. Let's back up a little bit and amplify it here. Go back to another verse of verse 5. It says, the Spirit of whom he has caused to dwell in us yearns. Say yearns. Say it like you mean it. Yearns. The Spirit yearns, longs for, desires, consistently wants to, yearns over us, and he yearns for the Spirit to be welcome with a jealous love. God is jealous over you if you're his child. And he yearns to have you draw near to him because in that jealousy, which is a godly jealousy, he wants to be the all-consuming thing in your life. Guess what? He doesn't want to share you with anyone. Now he will. He'll share you with your mate, your wife, your husband, he shares you with other things, but you know, he wants to be the all-consuming thing. And the question comes down to, is he the everything to us, down to we have such respect and reverence that we hide ourselves in him? David said of his thoughts toward us, Psalm 139, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. Listen to this, and understand my thoughts afar off. Wow. You comprehend my path. You have a comprehension of where I'm going and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Now, does that sound like someone who doesn't care for us? See, you don't think about people you don't care for. God thinks about us because he cares for us. The devil's been lying to a lot of us, telling us that God doesn't care for us. But the question comes down to this. If God yearns for us, if he cares for us, if he desires so much to be with us, why aren't we responding? What is holding us back? What is it that would even compare with what God wants to bring us into, that somehow it must, or we would be crossing over the line to where God wants us to be? Now, if I'm going to talk about the fear of the Lord, I want to give you two foundational verses. One's found in Psalm 89. Psalm 89 and verse 7 says this. God, say it with me, would you? Let's start again. Ready? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, to be held in what? Reverence by all those around him. When we come together and assemble as the church, the saints of God, the redeemed of the Lord, it says that God is to be greatly feared and held in reverence and respect of him. Let me go to this other one because it's foundational, and I'll put them together. This one is in the book of Leviticus. In the book of Leviticus in chapter 10, I know all of you read Leviticus every day because you love to read it and all those things that are in it, but there's certainly a lot of golden nuggets in it, but it does give us some insight into here what the fear of the Lord is. The sons of Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer. See, they were priests. They were the priestly role, so their ministry was in the temple area. So they took their incense with fire in it, put fire in their censer, and then put incense on it and offered, come on, say it, offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. The word profane means they took something that was sacred and they made it common. Something happened. And it wasn't long after Aaron. Aaron was a godly man who had a godly responsibility in the temple. And he was to pass down to the next generation of this great responsibility. And they were told how they were to come before the Lord. They were instructed on how to do that. But somehow it started that early, and it even got worse as it went along. Read the book of Malachi sometime. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. And when you read the book of Malachi, let me paraphrase where they were at this time. Speaking again to the ministers in the temple, he said, "If I then be your father, where is my respect?" They weren't honoring him. They weren't glorifying him. They weren't giving him reverence in the assembly of the saints because they were doing things that were opposite of what they were commanded to do. Instead of bringing the right kind of sacrifice, sacrifices like a lamb that was to be unspotted. Do you know what they were doing? They were giving him the leftovers, the second best, or the last. The lame, the blind lamb, though that which could not be sold in the market, that wasn't good for their own family, so who did they give it to? Now, folks, I'm saying this for some reason, because the book of Malachi goes back 2,400 years ago. How about now? Where have we come for 2,000 years in the church that started out to walk in the fear of the Lord that you'll see in just a moment? But we've drifted from that reverence and the giving him glory and giving him our first and being sold out and doing everything that God called us to do without respect for our own lives whatsoever. We're willing to give it all. How far have we come that we sit comfortably, and if we don't get what we want, we're down the road? That's pretty far. What are we offering to God today? Do you offer him your best? That's a good question, I think. Look at the result of it. Verse 2, and then we'll go to verse 3. It says, "So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord." Next verse tells us, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, "By those who come near me, I must be regarded as what?" This is foundational. If you're going to approach God, if you're going to come near to God, it has to be in holiness. And before all the people, I must be glorified. God must be glorified. They weren't doing it. They had unholy lives. They didn't come to glorify God. They came to fulfill some obligation that they were getting paid to do, and they were well off as they did it. And so it wasn't what God wanted from them. Now, you say, well, that's Old Testament. That's old. You're telling us about old time, fire going out. Oh, God would never do that today. Well, let me say something. He could. He very well could do it that way. But you know, I see people dying in other ways. I see marriages dying. I see people dying themselves, tormented. I see a lot of societies dying one right after another for the last 2,000 years. Why? You come to the place where you don't offer the holy, you don't glorify God, and we expect that we're all going to get away with this because somehow God has changed and he is more modern than he was before. He's more understanding than he was before. God doesn't change, folks. Now, do I believe that we need to take the message and make it relevant to every culture and every generation that comes? Absolutely. But you don't change foundational truths that God still deserves to be honored, respected, held in high regard, have a respect for his authority over our life, and it needs to be, what saith the Lord? Lord, what would you have me to do? So unless we think it is just the Old Testament, let me give you some New Testament verses. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 31, we're told as the church was expanding and growing, read it. It was exciting. It was like their deliverance was so fresh and their understanding of his voice and that reverence of God. Look what they did. Walking in what? That's what the church is doing. They were walking in the fear of the Lord. So the fear of the Lord was not removed from the writings in the New Testament. Well, Paul said, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. Paul's motivation for ministry is that he walked in the fear of God. It's foundational. Going on to a couple more. Submitting yourselves, Paul said, to one another in the, say it, perfecting holiness, how? In the fear of God. 2 Corinthians, Paul says again, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You cannot reach the status of holy. God said, be holy. God said, be holy. So there is a means, there's a way. God's given us his spirit to produce that sanctification of holiness in our lives. But it comes from being in awe of God and a respect of God. Because when you're in awe of God, a respect of God, it's kind of like with an open heart saying, whatever you want to do, you do, God. Once you have the fear of the Lord in place, the rest of it is going to happen. Now, why is this so important? Let me say this, and you might want to jot this down quickly. You'll serve who you fear. If you fear man, you're going to serve man. If you fear God, you're going to serve God. Now, we're not talking about being scared of God. That's not what we're talking about here. Let me give you an example of what happened here. Moses, we know the story of Moses. I say it over and over again, but it bears repeating. But what was his job? He went to the desert, and what, he had an encounter with God. The burning bush experience. I mean, he was changed. This rugged sheep herder and former Egyptian royalty and soldier, and all of a sudden was humbled before the God of creation, and he was given a mission to do, and he went in there, and he was going to take the children of Israel out of Egypt. Where was he going to take them to? Yell it out. The guy down here, the desert. Most of us think the promised land, which is partially true, but he wasn't taking them to the promised land first. What he said? He said, go down to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh, let my people go so that they might come out and worship me in the desert. Now, I want you to get this, because Moses got it. Moses' desire was to take them where he met with God so they could have the same encounter that he had. Because Moses knew that before he can take them to the promised land, he had to take them to the promisor. Before you can experience the promises in your life, you need to know the one who promised them. And when you get in touch with the one who promised them, the promises will come as a natural result of it. But there are too many today. Let's skip over that part. That's a little rugged. That took a lot of sweat. That takes a lot of, you know, dying to self. That takes a lot of giving up of some things. And, you know, I would rather, you know, tell me how to live a life of joy. Tell me how to eat the fruit, you know, in my life that will bring me peace or bring me financial prosperity or make me healthy or make my family healthy. So we want to hear all kinds of messages on the promise of God. And not too many messages on the fear of God. And we need to hear more message on the awe of God, the reverence of God, because once you get to know, here's why. What did the children of Israel complain about? They complained about everything. When there was no water, they complained. When there was no food, when they complained, when it was too hot, they complained. Everything, they complained about everything. And their backup to that was, it would have been better for us to be back in Egypt, didn't they? So there was still an attraction. Even though it was slavery, even though it was bondage, there was still something that attracted them back there. And yet Moses stood in a different camp altogether. Moses kind of shaking his head, I bet, at times, and saying, I don't get it. Because you see, Moses had something that was more alluring to him than anything Egypt had. And that was in the presence of God. Once you're in the presence of God, once you're walking in that fear of God, that awesome respect, once you walk in awe of God and the world comes with all of its temptations, man, they will be nothing. They'll not compare at all to what you have in God. That's what it means to fear evil, to reject all evil, to hate evil, because it says the man that fears God hates evil. The woman who fears God hates evil. How does that work? Because you see, this is better than this. So if you want to grow leaps and bounds, move away from temptation, move closer to God. Draw near to me, I will draw near to you. Moses had an encounter. Moses wanted the people to have that same kind of encounter. Now, I want you to take you to Exodus here. He took him to the mountain. I want you to look at this. We're in Exodus chapter 20 if you're writing this down. He takes them to the mountain. I want to share with you what happens at this mountain. He wants them to see God. He wants them to experience what he experienced. God comes down, and all the people witness the thunderings and lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and what? Stood afar off. Well, you know, in the natural, you would say, well, I'd probably do the same thing. But you have to understand, Moses understood something about God. You see, God is so mighty and powerful and awesome and holy that mountains do shake at his presence. The heavens do respond by lightnings and thunderings and things like that. That's just a natural. When God shows up, those things are going to do it. In a way, I see that very nature is just expressing the awesomeness and the bigness of God. But go to the next verse here. It says that, then they said to Moses, you speak with us. We will hear you, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. Let's go to the next one. And Moses said to the people, notice in here, do not fear. Don't be afraid of God. For God has come to test you, and that, say it, his fear. So don't be afraid of God, but let his fear be before you so that you may not sin. So the people stood afar off, but Moses what? Drew near the thick darkness where God was. They responded by pulling away. You know, you only pull away from God when you got something going wrong in your life. That's when you don't want to be in the presence of God. If there's sin in your life, if there's desires in your life you want to hang on to, if there's a lifestyle that you want to continue in, if there's some practices and habits that you don't want to give up, you don't want to get near God. So you'll run from it. You'll stand afar off. And I fear that there are too many who have taken that step to receive Christ as their Savior, but they don't want to go to the mountain. They don't want to get too near God because they got too much going on in their life. And if they get too near God, God's going to take something away from them. They don't know God. They know salvation. But they don't know God. And I want this group of people to know God. I want you to experience Moses' God, Abraham's God, Isaiah's God. I want you to experience Paul's God, John's God. That's the God that doesn't take things away. Oh, he'll only take those things away that are going to ruin your life. But we haven't figured that out yet because, you see, we think we got it figured out. These are the things that make for my life. And in all reality, it's taking from your life. And God said, I have some things that are going to give you life. But you have to move in. You say, well, I don't. How do I know for sure that's right? You don't. But then you don't trust God. Because you don't know God. If you really know God, you know that you can trust him with anything because If he has the stars in their place by his power, and everything is held together because of his word, he has all of the past in his hand and under his hand. He has all of the present. He has all the future. If you know that kind of God, you'll easy put your trust in him. He made it so clear. If I'll take care of the lily, if I take care of the birds in the sky, won't I take care of you, O ye of little faith? So here, what did Moses do? He drew near. He moved closer when they stood afar off. Listen, my prayer is that you be a Moses. What is the fear of the Lord? I want to give you some concrete things here, three of them that are the fear of the Lord that'll be helpful to you. What is the fear of the Lord? Number one, seeing God for who he is. Seeing God for who he is. All that I've talked about, holy and above and honor him and revere and reverence of him. But here's what else is knowing God. Know what he hates and then hate the things he hates. Know what he loves and just love the things he loves. Know what is important to him and what's on his heart and make it important to you and let it be on your heart. That might mean setting aside your agenda and picking up his agenda. But if you know God, it's not that difficult, folks. Second of all, to be terrified to be away from him. Not to be terrified of him, but to be terrified to be away from him. And I guess that's the thing, that when you walk in that fear of God and something comes along that maybe you've given into him, and it's a possibility that if you really move much further in that temptation and that it can take on all kinds of things, that you're too terrified to go that way. I'm too terrified to get away from God. So I run back to God and into his presence. Because I can't stand being away from him. Thirdly, and we'll do further explanation on this, awesome respect for God's word. Do you have an awesome respect for God's word? God's word is everything to me. God's word is my lamp, my light. God's word is my instructions for life. God's word is going to keep me. God's word is going to move me forward. I mean, this awesome respect for God's word. Let me tell you what the characteristics are of an awesome respect for God's word. Number one, you obey him instantly. And there's too much of this going around, folks. Help me here, Lord. I don't want to minimize maybe some struggles you're going through. But too many of us are going through these struggles too long, and God doesn't intend for you to go through them that long. Now, do we have battles? Do we fight? Do we resist? Yes. But I'm tired of hearing people say, well, listen, you know, I'm getting over this problem. How long have you been working on it? Well, I'm 7 years into it, and I'm getting over this lust problem in my life. It's like bragging on your lack of fear of God in your life. Because if you really have the fear of God in your life and you're walking in the fear of God, you won't struggle with it for 7 years. Because you're terrified to be away from the presence of God, because that's what it'll do to you. It's in the script here. Everyone would be quiet right now. Obey him instantly. How important is that? I could give you dozens of them, but there's this one that stood out to me as I wrote this down. How important is it to instantly obey God? And not like, you know, well, think about it tomorrow. God tells you today, but he says, go do it, but you think about it. Listen, you could lose out on that. I remember when Cheryl and I had the responsibility of being house parents to 32 kids. We were in a discipleship house that was called the Youth Home, it's now called the Student Res. But anyway, in that, we had three young ladies who were still in high school. And one of those, I won't mention her name, but she was in high school, and Cheryl was doing something at home, and the Spirit of God spoke to her and said, go to East High School. That's where she was going to go to East High School right now. Drop everything. Well, Cheryl dropped everything. She could have said, well, I'm busy. Let me get this done. Isn't that what happens to her? I'm busy. I've got to get this done. I've got to get this one load of laundry in. Let me just do this. Or I had this already scheduled. God, speak to us. And we're not moving instantly. We're moving on our timing. Folks, you're going to miss it. But she had this fear of God working in her. She moved and she got in her car and she drove, probably broke the speed limit, committed another sin, but that's different. But she drove down to East High School. She pulled up, and as she was pulling up, this young lady was leaving school, and there was a young man waiting for her, and they were going to run away. She walked up to her and confronted her and said, God told me to get over here. Blew this girl away. Ended up turning her life around. That's what moving instantly can do. And I want to tell you, I literally could tell you hundreds of those situations. Obey him even if it doesn't make sense. Wow. You know, God's going to call you to obey him when it doesn't make sense. But out of your reverence and respect for him, it made no sense for me to pack up and come to Colorado back in 1971. Made no sense whatsoever. Everything that made sense was somewhere else, had it all laid out, it all was working out. I should have gone there, but guess what? It didn't make any sense, but I had this respect and awesomeness. I trusted God even in my early days. I'm so thankful I came to Colorado. I'm so thankful I'm here today. Three. Yeah, praise God for that. Obey him when it hurts. It's going to hurt sometime. How many know that dying is not an easy thing? And yet Paul says we die daily. What dies? That desire, that lust, that attitude, that whatever. God, and he challenges you to change it, and yet it hurts. But it's going to work out. Obey him even when it doesn't, when we don't see a benefit for ourselves. Wow, that'll strike a chord today. Do you mean that God doesn't just give me everything I want? And there are some people who live their Christian life like that. That's the kind of messages they want to hear. They come in, what benefit? Many come every weekend and say, I wonder what I'm going to get out of it. How about what we put into it? Since when did becoming Christ-like want to get something out of it? Christ was so far from that. He did everything for others, and we want to be Christ-like, but we want everything to be done for us. Sorry. Last one, obey him to completion. Obey him to completion. Hold those, I'm going to come back on it. Now, let me go further with this. Let me take you to another verse how this thing's working. I'm going to put it all together here in 5 minutes, okay? Psalm 25. Look at Psalm 25. Psalm 25 says, say it out loud with me, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Now, I'm thinking, I love to hear secrets. But who do you share your secrets with? Your best friend. You don't share them with everybody. But you know, when you have a best friend, when you get with that best friend, you know you're going to hear something, like a secret. Hey, you want me to tell you something? As best friends, you share them. It's, wow, it's a highlight of you getting together. Listen, God wants to get together with you and share. Can you imagine the secrets that God has? They're not going to be petty things like who I'm dating now. That secret that you share with a friend. No. His secrets might be something about prophecy. His secrets are going to be about how he created. And his secrets might be what he's going to do. The secrets could be mind-boggling that God wants to share. And he has lots of them to share with us. Look at this in a different translation. Look at this in the Amplified. The secret of the sweet, satisfying companionship of the Lord have they who fear, revere, and worship him. And he will show them his covenant and reveal to them its what? Deep inner meaning. God's made a covenant with us that through Jesus Christ, you moved into a new covenant of relationship with God, a personal relationship. The veil has been torn, and that's the covenant you move into. But do you know that there are deep inner workings of that covenant that God wants to reveal to those who fear him? And who does he want to do it with? His friends. His friends. James tells us that Abraham was a friend of God. How did he become a friend with God? It's because he walked in the fear of the Lord. You remember the incident when he took his son? He said, go take your son, and I'm really fast-forwarding that. Go take your son and kill him. Offer him a sacrifice. He takes Isaac, his son who he waited for, who he loved. He takes him to the altar of sacrifice, binds him on the altar, takes the knife and ready to drive it into him. And we have this verse out of Genesis. Do not lay your hand on the lad, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Move on. We'll put it all together. Then Abraham lifted his eyes after this, and he saw a ram over there in the thicket. And a ram was an animal that could be sacrificed. So God had in place already. Here's the amazing thing about God. You think God's taking something away from you, and he's got a ram in the thicket that you don't know about. How many would like to just land on a ram in the thicket that you don't even know about? When it comes to your finances or when it comes to a relationship, God's got a ram in the thicket. And until you move in the fear of God and respect and reverence and just obey and get rid of and just begin to do, you'll never know the ram in the thicket. But here, the ram in the thicket, and he called the place the Lord will provide. There wasn't only a ram in the thicket. This is the first time that God reveals himself. First time. He reveals himself to mankind as the Lord God, the provider, Jehovah Jireh. Part of his personality, part of who he is. I will provide for you all the time. How would you like that secret revealed to you? I will be your provider in every situation. You don't have to doubt, you just obey. That's the inner circle secrets that are being shared, that God wants to share. So let's go back over Abraham. Abraham obeyed instantly. It didn't make sense. It hurt. There was no benefit seen in it. And he did it to completion. Why? Because he feared God. Let's go to our last verses we're going to use. John chapter 15. This is Jesus now. Jesus talking to his disciples. No longer do I call you servants. For a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you, what? Say it out loud. Friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So, no longer servants, but friends. Abraham was a friend of God. He was a friend of God because he walked in the fear of the Lord. This is a promise that's coming across to us. Now, go back on this verse here. You are my friends, right? Say the next word. If, say it loud. If. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. There's an if in there, folks. Yes, there's an if in there. You want to draw near to God? There are going to be some ifs in there. If you'll do this. Every promise of God has an if to it, and it ought to be that way. A good father just doesn't lavish on his kids things that are going to make them spoiled and have bad attitudes. He's only give you what you need and what you would be good and beneficial to you. And there are a lot of ifs to a good father. Would you agree? And there ought to be. Would you stand with me?
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.